Welcome to the Covenant Community Church podcast. We hope that this teaching will bless you. Share with us how God is moving in your life and how this message impacts you by emailing us at media@covenantcc.net. Are you ready? It's time for the Word.
All right, go to Titus chapter 1, and I want you to be patient with me this morning because I have to lay this out precept upon precept, and I'm going to hit a lot of scripture. So I want you, and I'll tell you when we get to the place where I want you just to write them down and go back and revisit them. Are you ready? Say amen. How many of you have your Bibles? Let me see that first. Who all has the scriptures? That is why we're here, to study the scriptures. Amen. How many of you have something to take notes with? Put that up in the air. Good. I'm proud of you. Titus chapter 1. Titus is a book being written by Paul to his protege, Titus. Titus is being instructed by Paul, and look at what happens in verse 8. He's talking to elders of the church up front, and he says, an elder has to be a lover of good. This simple little word is misunderstood in the English language. It is undervalued in Christian churches. It is overlooked amongst theologians. As a matter of fact, if you try to find the theology of good on the internet, you will only find it at Yale and Harvard with its replacement of God, and life only is good without God. So we take this little word and we see where the Bible tells elders to be good. Now drop on down to verse 15. In verse 15 it says, to the pure, everything is pure, to those that are saved. How many of you are saved? Say amen. But those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. In fact, both their mind and their conscience. So we see the concept of good being connected with the mind and the conscience. And God has a different definition of good. As a matter of fact, the Bible says when you're right with God, that your mind and your conscience is different than your mind and your conscience if you're not saved. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. 16 says, they profess to know God, but they deny him by their works. And so God takes this concept of good, and he connects it immediately with the word works. In Titus 3:8, this word work, it means employment. And so you find that Titus, guys, is beginning to lay out how when you're righteous, you're connected to good works. He says, they profess to know God, but they deny him by the works, and they are detestable, obedient, and disqualified for any good works. Now drop down to chapter 2, because he begins now to talk about families. How many of you want to raise great families? Say amen. And so he tells the older women that you are to be a good teacher to the younger women. And uses the word good in front of the word didasco, teacher. So you are to be a good teacher. And then he drops down to the younger women, and he says to the younger women in the church, he says, you are to be a good homemaker. That is not to say that women cannot be presidents of corporations. As a matter of fact, the Bible literally teaches the opposite. However, the Bible does say that the first place that a woman is to be good is to be in making of a home, to make a good home. To be good at making a home. And these are the admonishments of the Apostle Paul to the church. And so Paul connects to the older and the men and women, and to the younger women, the concept of good. Then he looks at the young man in verse 6 and he says, you make sure you're a good example that people look at your eye. Colossians 3 actually says eye service, which is a Greek word which means that the most important thing you could do for the cause of Christ is to act right. And let people see your life. Become eye service for the kingdom of God. Well, it gets more interesting. Go to verse 11. For the grace of God has appeared with salvation for all people and appeared instructing us to deny godlessness and worldly lusts and to live in a sensible, righteous, and godly way in this present age. And while we wait for the blessed hope of the appearing of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, watch this. He gave himself for us to redeem us from evil, lawlessness, and to cleanse us for us to become a special people. Now listen carefully. Watch this. Eager. Now, I use a Holman Standard Translation, and it really has a bad interpretation of this next word. How many of you have scriptures in here this morning that has the translation zealot? Can I see your hands? A few of you? That's the right Greek word that should have been used here, because the Bible says that God wants to create a special people who are zealots. Zealots at what? Zealots at good works. Say these things and encourage and rebuke. Now, the Greek doesn't have to use that, so the fact that it repeats it makes my ears pop up because God is wanting to say something to us. Look at chapter 3. Remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities and to obey everyone to be ready for a good work. In other words, take your godly life to the voting booth. Take your godly life to the congressmen in front of the police officers. We're living in a day and age where people are wanting to demonize police officers. I want to tell you something. Most police officers are good people. And we're living in an age where we want to demonize authority. You know, a demonic spirit is loose in America when they're wanting to take people who have your best interests in mind and who are protecting the common good and demonize the good. Because Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1 that in the last days you'll know that the coming of the Son of Man is about to happen. And I believe he's coming back. Somebody say amen. That he's going to come back. And when he comes back, one of the characteristics is going to be that people are going to break the law openly, and they're going to avoid lawfulness, and they're not going to love the law. And so that's dangerous. But he goes on to say, he says, do not slander anyone, avoid fighting, be kind, and always show gentleness, for we too were once foolish and disobedient and detestable. But look at verse 4. But when the goodness of the love for man, I thank God that goodness started when God loved man. That goodness isn't something that it's not a dirty word. And we're living in a generation where good is a dirty word. And the Lord spoke to my heart and said, warn people because they're bored with being good. Be very careful getting bored with being good. Because Genesis started out and there was a tree of the knowledge of, and God the Father says, I don't want you, baby, to touch this tree. Don't eat of its fruit, which means you could eat of it if you chose to. And then he made the tree of life, and in the tree of the life, there's no concept of good, just the concept of life. And God says, eat here. Well, God, don't you want me to be good? Don't you want me to understand evil? The answer was no. It's not God's original plan. He says, I want you to seek me because I'm the source of goodness. Over here, you are the source of goodness. And so the greatest lie to the church and to humanity started right here in this little garden where Eve said, I think I will choose what is good. And the day she reached out for that proverbial fruit, it destroyed all of us. And we were destroyed by our desire to be good. To know good. And God says, I am the only one that's good. And so what you find is that when the goodness of the love for man appeared, that God is a good God. And folks, I'm talking from my heart today, but I am so burdened by how many preachers I hear in our area preach as if God is not good, as if he's mad at you. Listen to me with fear and trembling in my heart. I firmly believe that God is good. If you believe that, would you give the Lord praise and a hand clap right now? Be very careful, I just set you up. I set you up because you cannot believe God is good if you don't do good things. In the scripture, Paul tells Titus that good started because God was good. And because God is good, he turned around and he was good, Josh, to men. Very simple. And so it goes on to say that he saved us by not works of righteousness. So Paul makes sure he cleans it up real quick and talks about the proverbial tree and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That you're not right before God because of any goodness that's in you to reach. No, no. That only God is good. And because God is good, God did good things for man. And because he does good things for men, men who have him in themselves do good things for others. In other words, it's absolutely impossible for you to be a Christian and not do good things for other people. You can say you're saved, speak in tongues, flip-flop, run around this church, and all of that can be appropriate in the right setting. But if you're not good when you leave this church, I love you, but you're a hypocrite and you do not know God, because it is impossible not to be good if God is good and you are saved. Amen. And so Paul, this is what he's saying, but according to his mercy through the washing and regeneration of the Holy Spirit. So he connects this concept with good, with regeneration, which means you're saved. You've been washed in the blood. How many have been washed in the blood? Can I see hands? Which is, that's a theological word to say I'm saved, that I've accepted the blood of Jesus for the remission of my sin, to cover my sin, remission. All right? Now watch this, because we're going to get good. It's going to get good, good down. We're going to get good. Somebody say amen. All right, now watch this. Verse 6. I want you to know that being good doesn't save a person. Verse 5. And I want you to realize in verse 4, goodness has a beginning in man. The person that's and that's why people who are good are often hard to win to Jesus Christ, because they're stuck at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they think everything's okay. In reality, you only reach out for food that God said was good for food. This was good for food, but God said stay away from it because it's deceptive. It's very alluring. It'll catch you off guard. Nothing will screw your life up more trying to be good without God. And so God says to Paul through Titus, he says, the Spirit poured out on us abundantly. And then look at verse 8. It says, this saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist, which means to firmly assure and tell the church, the congregation, and make no bones about it. Listen, the Greek doesn't have to talk like this. So when you see English with stern language in the New Testament, you better let the ears perk up, because this is serious stuff. And so he says this is a trustworthy saying, which he didn't have to say, because he said it a different way. I want to assert strongly. Now, what does he want to assert strongly? So that those who believed, how many of you believe that God is God? Can I see hands? Those that believe God might be careful to devote themselves to what? Building churches? No. Do what? Devote themselves to good works. And these are good and profitable for everyone. And then go down to verse 14. Our people must learn to devote themselves to good works. And that word work there is actually the work here for employment. Listen very carefully to me today. How many of you would like to please God? May I see your hands? If you want to please God, there's a way in which you can start. And that is to understand that you're not a teacher. You're not a lawyer. You're not a doctor. You're not a coal miner. You're not a construction worker. You're a missionary. Yes. Because what God does when you're saved, how many of you asked Jesus to come into your heart? May I see your hands? Keep them up. Everything changes. Everything changes. And he no longer calls you construction worker. He calls you beloved. But when he says in Titus 3 and 8 here that you are to redeem your work through good works, he is saying that you are to go as my people into employment and represent me as a regent, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, by doing good works. How many of you have been turned off by a Christian who did not do good works but lived evil? Can I see your hands? Why do you think this is so important? Would you give God a hand clap of praise this morning? Somebody say amen. Now, let me show you something. Let's go quickly. Go to Genesis 1 and 1. Write it down, and I'm going to go like a machine gun. Isn't it interesting that the Bible says that God did what? He worked. And then God stepped back from employment, what he was employed to do. And of all the words he could have used, he looked upon work and he said, Jenny, as a teacher, this is good. Isn't it funny that we have a saying that says the idle mind is the devil's playground? Don't you think it's ironic that this world is falling apart when half of America doesn't work for a living? They get a check from the government. And if you do that and you're disabled, that's the reason they created it. But if you got two good legs and two good arms and a good mind, you need to be working, honey. I don't care what you do. You got to find a purpose in life. I give God a hand clap of praise. That's Good preaching for a white boy. But tie it together, because then look what happens. God says good, and then he uses the word work. But when he worked, he called it good. Genesis 1 and 1. And then you find out in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the tree was called the knowledge of good and evil. And then you see the tree of life was the source of all goodness without your human ability to be good. How many of you know we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God? How many of you know only one's good? Say amen. Now watch this. Stick with me. Genesis 2 and 9, over on the tree of life, Eve reached up and Adam reached up and said, this is good for food. But in Genesis 3 and 6, they looked at it and they looked at where they were told not to go, and they first noticed that the food was good for food. That there was goodness here. And so they were tricked into thinking that they could choose to be good. That they could decide what was good and what was evil. Now, you go to Jeremiah chapter 33. Write it down quickly. Jeremiah 33 and 11. And the Bible says, the Lord is good. You go to Jeremiah 33 and 14 and it says, I will perform good things. So you have to understand, how many of you believe God is good? Say amen. Amen. That if God is good, if God is really good, because I've heard preachers say he's mad at you. I heard a preacher get up and say, I know when I look in the mirror, I hate myself. Do you realize you just said you hate something created in the image of God? And there's people who say, God's out to get you. Well, listen, God, I got news for you, homeboys. If God was out to get you, he'd get you. I can go home with just that. That's worth the price of admission. You hear me? If God wanted to get you, Chuck, he'd get you. Listen, you can't hide from him. But God didn't want to get you. Why does not want God want to get you? You know why he didn't want to get you? Because he's good. Someone say that with me. God is good. Now, if you really believe that, you cannot then deduct it in your reasoning and then not therefore come to the conclusion that if God exists and God is good, then God did good things for people because he's good. It is impossible. Let me make sure I heard you right and saw you right. How many of you, God's ever done something good for you? Put your hands up. Now, here's the problem with that. If God is bad, you're a liar. Because God cannot do that. He cannot do bad things for you and be a good God. But because God is good, you know what he did? It makes me want to shout. I'm trying to teach. Because God is good, God turned around and said, Jesus, I want you to go, he said to himself, and I want you to go and redeem mankind and reconcile them, and I want you to make a purpose out of the life and the work I give them and to move them from glory to glory. And so Jesus came and he died on a cross and rose again on the third day and took the keys to death, hell, and the grave to finish what Adam and Eve screwed up, the first Adamic man, and with the knowledge of tree and the good and evil, and he turned around and he did good things to man. If God's done good things to man, God must be good. And if God is good, he must do good things to man. So if God is good and he's done good things to man, man must do good things to other men if they know God. Oh, don't patty cake. I'm about to shout. Somebody say amen. Go quickly, quickly. Amos 9 and 4 says, hate the evil and love the good. We're in the world that loves the evil and hates the good. Matthew, go quickly. Matthew 5, 16 says, whatever you do in this world, whatever you do, you make sure you're full of. How many of you want to go to heaven? Let me see your hands. Oh, that's great, 20 of you. How many of you want to go to heaven? All right, you want to go to heaven? Let me tell you something. You don't get into heaven by being good. You get into heaven because you are good, because God made you good. But if you are good, you will do good works, and good works don't get you into heaven, but good works is proof that you are saved. Matthew 7 and 17, go there quickly. It has this little Greek word there. Agatheos. And do you know what that means? In Matthew 7 and 7 says, so every tree that bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. If God is good, then God does good things to men because he is good. And if man receives the goodness from God, the proof that he is possessing of God is that he is also created in the image of his Father and is therefore good. Therefore, man that is good has proof that he is of a God who is good. But he says you cannot bring forth good fruit unless you have a good tree. And that word right there, good, means benevolent, agatheos. It means that God is benevolent. Oh, do you know what I'm saying? It's so simple, you'll miss it this morning. That because he was good to me, when I didn't deserve to be good, he who is supreme good, perfect good, holy good, righteous good, always just in his goodness, never makes a mistake, and his judgments are always correct. He who is the epitome of good, the utopia of good, creates people who are good because they come out of him, created in his image. So it is impossible to say you know God and not be good. It is impossible to say you know God and not be kind. It is impossible to say you know the one and true holy God, the Yahuwah HaMashiach, the blessed Lamb of God, the lily of the valley, the bright the morning star, the fairest of 10,000 to my soul, the bread of life. It is impossible to know the star of Bethlehem and what it represents in the walk of Jesus Christ if you're not good. Because when we're good, it's proof we know him. I sent out a group text this week, and I accidentally had a wrong number, and a guy wrote me back and told me to go F off. And I thought, excuse me? And the first thing out of my mind is fresh meat. And so I texted him back, and I said, I got what I said, but he wrote me back and he said, I don't believe in Jesus like you do. I thought, I got a big one on the line today. Come on, baby, because I want you to go there. And then he turns around and he really gets himself in a hole because he says to me in a text message, he says, I don't believe in Jesus, I believe in Yeshua. And I had a big old grin, like a cat before he eats the canary. And I text him back and I said, I can assure you that Yeshua, which is the Hebrew word for Jesus, would not use words like that to speak to someone created in his image. He was immediately neutered. Can't go left, can't go right. Either get humble or let your pride get the best of you, but you're done, cowboy. John Wayne shot you. Somebody say amen. Now listen carefully because I want to get you out of here because I got somewhere to go. But this is so important because it's so simple you're going to miss it. It's so simple we ignore it. But the word of the Lord to me was to encourage you to be good in the community and to take what you do for a living and make your employment your ministry. Now watch this. Listen carefully to me, precious people. Matthew 12:35, go there. It says, and a good man out of his good treasures of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasures bring forth evil things. Just like I just told you about a man. See, who you are will tell on you. You know your worship will tell on you. But you know your good works will tell on you. There are some of you, I'm so proud of you in this church because you're always doing good things and it gets back to me all the time. Do you realize we got a letter from someone in the community that didn't go to church here and took the time to write us a letter, a snail mail letter. And they wrote us a letter and said, I just have to stop and say, as a Christian, thank God for a church in this community that isn't open, and this is the word she used, just on Sunday morning. She goes, I'm part of a business that you blessed out in the marketplace. And I want to say thank you for a church that just isn't a Sunday only church, but you're a church on Monday, you're a church on Tuesday, you're a church on Wednesday, and you're doing good works on Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday night. Somebody give God a praise for a church that just isn't good on Sunday morning. Now listen to me carefully. What you find is that out of a good treasure, that word good, underline it there, actually means out of inner strength. Now watch this. God then begins in the scriptures to connect the concept of good with an inner reality. Had God not connected the concept of being good with your heart and with the inner work of the Holy Spirit, Titus chapter 2, and had he not connected it in Matthew, because Matthew loves the word agathos, good, had he not connected it, he would be espousing the theology of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I'll choose what's good. But God now connects it in Matthew, and he says, a good man out of the inner excellence of his heart brings forth good things. Go to Matthew 13:27. I've got to go quick. Don't fall asleep on me. Listen carefully. And it didn't look like you're asleep, but I'm just telling you not to. Matthew 13:27 says, let me ask you a question, make sure I got the right audience. How many of you would like to make the most of the Bible study I'm teaching today and get the Word of God in? You may see your hands. All right, you're doing something that Jesus said, is that you're sowing seed in soul. Your heart is the soul. But isn't it interesting that Jesus did not say you must have healthy soul? In the Greek, he uses agatheos. You must have good soul. You must have good soul. Matthew 13:38 says that when he looked at you and I, how many of you want him to come back for you? Maybe not right now, but maybe tomorrow. Can I see hands? When he, and listen, make it sure, write this in your notes. Jesus Christ is going to return to earth. I don't care whether you believe it or not. It's true. How many of you do believe it? Let me see hands. He's going to return to this earth. But it's something interesting. Before he gets to this earth, he looked down and he said, make sure that there is good soul, that the word of God falls in a good place in your heart, that your heart is good. And then he turns around and he says, because you've got to make sure that good seed goes in good soul. And he uses the word agatheos again. Good seed goes into good soul. And he literally says that good seed in Matthew 13:38 is actually the children of the kingdom of God. How many of you want to be part of his kingdom? Amen. Listen to me carefully. It's a trick, Royce. How many of you want to be part of his kingdom? Fewer. Fewer of you raised your hand. I wanted you to raise your hand again, all right? How many of you want to be part of his kingdom? This is not a trick question. You guys crack me up sometimes. Somebody went, oh. Yeah. That's funny. He says that the children of the kingdom of God are called good seed. Now, why does he say that? Go with me. We're going to shoot it like a machine gun. Matthew 19:17 says, Jesus said, walked up to a guy, and a guy, very important for you to understand this, walked up to him and said, good didasco, good teacher. Jesus turns around and says, what did you just say? Now, liberal theologians use this scripture to say that Jesus does not claim divinity, which means he never claims to be God. That's a bunch of bull. Jesus, when you look at the Hebrew and the Greek here, not only claims to be God, but some translations translate this wrong for the English. In Matthew 19, he says, good teacher. And Jesus turns around and said, excuse me, why did you call me good? Now that's interesting. Now listen carefully to me. In Jewish literature, which is Old Testament Jews, Judaism, Jewish people, their writings, never in the Talmud, the Mishnah, or any of the other writings preceding Jesus, was a teacher in Judaism ever called good? And so here's Jesus. How many believe God's good? Walks up and a guy goes, good teacher. And he was trying to flatter Jesus. And Jesus said, excuse me. did you just call me good? And so liberal theologians use this to say that Jesus doesn't claim to be good, but the truth is that Jesus is literally saying in the exact interpretation of the language, why did you just call me good? And then he says, there's only one that's good. Only one that's kind. Only one that's holy. Only one that's right and perfect in all of his judgments. Only one in whom good is the source. Why did you just call me good? Because I don't originate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You called me good. And you've hit on something, boy. Because I am the Son of God. And all goodness comes from me. I am the source of everything that is good. It makes the hair stand up on the back of my head. Stick with me. Give me just a little bit. But listen carefully. Matthew 24. 43, for those of you who do not want to be left behind, I'll be doing a new series soon called Coming of the Son of Man, and I'm going to have one sermon for unsaved people on what to do if you're left behind. How many of you do not want to be left behind? Great. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known what watch the thief was going to come, he would have watched. So what's that saying to us, Kenny? Listen to what it says. That little simple word we go past. He says, not if the watchman had been watching for the coming of the Son of Man. He said, but if the good watchman was watching for the coming of the Son of Man. So he connects good with watching for the coming of the Son of Man. Now, hold on. Let me read you some scriptures and see if you can quote them for me. Well done, my. Do you know what that means? When he says, well done, Ray, my good and faithful servant, it means your character precedes your diligence. When Jesus welcomes you to heaven, how many would like to be welcomed by Jesus? Yeah, I can't wait. He's going to look at you and he's going to say, well done. Now, if he doesn't know you, what's he going to say? This is really interesting. He said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. But then what's the other part of that verse? He says, only those that do the will of my Father. And every time you see the word will, a lot of times, especially in the gospel writers in the book of Matthew, you'll notice that the will of God and doing with goodness is always combined. Why? Because God is a good God 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He's good in the morning, he's good in the hospital, he's good in the afternoon, he's good in the midst of a divorce, he's good when you haven't got any money, and he's good when your pocket's full of it. He's good in the north, he's good in the south, he's good in the west, he's good in the east, he's good in the dark time, he's good in the bad times, no matter where you go with God, hey, 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 he is always good. God is good. And hyper faith people say it all the time, always. Well, you know what? That's not hyper faith, that's truth. He is always good. Even when he pronounces judgment, he's good at his judgment because he don't miss. And so what you find is that he says good and faithful servant, he connects character with diligence, but here's the point, ladies and gentlemen, he places character above diligence. He places doing good, watch this, because we're going somewhere. He places doing good in the marketplace above being diligent. Must be pretty stinking important, huh? Watch this. Let me give you another scripture. Well, you may not know this one, so I'll give it to you. Luke 12:3, it says, the Father's good pleasure. How many of you would like to pleasure God? Would you like to pleasure God? Let me see your hands. If you want to give pleasure to God, what brings God pleasure? I thought that was interesting. The one who spoke the stars and threw them into the existence, the one who put the position between the Milky Way and the moon and the sun at the exact position so that life could form on earth, that God that is so practical and precise that he's a mathematician and he forms the galaxies and the axles of the earth according to the greatest mathematical propositions. He is an amazing God when it comes to details. Well, he's so detailed and he's so detailed that I thought, how would a God like that, that plays with the Milky Way and the galaxies of the earth, get pleasure? And it says, it is God's good pleasure to give the kingdom of God to his people. And there's a lot of Christians that are going to have a wake-up call when they realize that you are not here to buck and shout and run and speak in tongues, and all of those things are appropriate and biblical. You are not here to just because you ain't got anything else to do or you just want to do the right thing. No. You are here as the assembly of the saints who come together, according to Titus, from the Apostle Paul, so that you could come together, give God under the name of Ecclesia, the church, Covenant Community Church, to go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, to take what you do, to go into the hospitals, to go in the surgery centers, to go into GE, to go into the coal mines, to go into the culture, to go into the educational systems, to go into media and journalism, and you are to root inside culture, and you are to live out your life of a holy and a good God by being good and doing good works in where you live. Oh, give God a hand clap of praise. You're a missionary. Listen to me. I feel like talking to a bunch of cats I love. Listen to me. You're a missionary. It's a command. What do you do? I'm going to answer that. This church is full of good works. But if we ever remove good works from him, we're doing nothing but biting off the wrong tree. But if we're good because he is good, and because he is good, he's been good to us. And therefore, since God has been good to us, theologically, we must be good to other people, because being good is proof that we know him, because he's good and we come out of good. You cannot claim to know God and tell somebody, do you know what, off in the name of Yeshua, and not put yourself in a conundrum. You cannot cuss out the postmaster or be rude to the woman at Walmart if you come from a good God. It does not mean you do not stand up for yourself. It does not mean you let people run over you. But when you come from a good God, you can't help but to be good and do good things for people, even your enemies. When the Bible says do good to those who speak against you and persecute you, it's actually a Greek word for good, which means concrete. Do concrete actions against people who've hurt you and done you bad. God's so serious about being good that he says when they speak evil of you and they do bad things with you, concretely act by buying their lunch when no one's looking. Concretely act when they ask for your coat, give them your hat too. Because what you're doing is representing my kingdom. It's not about you. It's about you infiltrating this world that you work in with the goodness of God. So that work begins to smell good when everyone else is stealing. That work, do you realize Christian people should be the hardest workers? Not one of you jokers should be punching out before time. Not one of you should be lying about your time cards. Oh, I didn't come to be liked. I come to tell you the truth. There should be no better workers in the city of Madisonville than the 1,300 people who go to Covenant Community Church or people who go to God's church. you be a good worker. You show up on time. They tell you to be there at 7, you get there at 10 till. They tell you to wear nice clothes, you show up in an Armani. You, whenever they ask you, go into the second thing. Why? Not about you. The concept of being good means that you're representing a regent. That I am representing the king, and my behavior reflects on him. And I'm good and I'm kind to people. I reconcile relationships. This church should be the leader of racial reconciliation. You want to know why? Too much is given, much is required. In this stupid, screwed up world we're living in, where everybody's trying to divide black and white, and we've built the first interracial church that's this size ever in the history of Western Kentucky, we need to be the ones to stand up and go, listen, it isn't all black lives matter, it's all lives matter, and that we need to be the one reconciling the races, not dividing them. We need to reconcile people, drug addicts and drug dealers who are far away from God. We're doing that. We need to reconcile them to God. We need to make sure that our ministers and our ministries here stay fluent. But how do we really impact the city? We impact the city when we realize God is good. And because God is good, he's been good to me. And because he's been good to me, I can't help but to be good to another human being created in his image also. And I'm going to be good because God who lives in me is good. And so you cannot be kind enough. God didn't call you to be nice. You say, what? No, God didn't call you to be nice. Nice avoids the argument. Kind is gentle. Kind knows what it believes. When somebody tells you to go off, you're kind. Your object is reconciliation, that you're involved in the culture. Somebody give God praise. Jeremy, come on up. I'm out of time. I just want you to know I'm on page 2 of 7. Listen to me carefully. I'm going to close it with reading you scriptures. Luke 14:34 says salt is good. What is salt? It's a preservative. How do you become salt? Well, you have to touch the meat before you can preserve it. People from the knowledge of good and evil, religious people, don't like to touch the meat. Even Matthew 23 says the problem with religious people is they look good, but they won't lift a finger. These are the words of Jesus to help someone out of trouble when they have an object to make them twice the son of hell they are. Religious people have trouble doing good. They like to talk about good. And Jesus says, you just can't talk about doing good. He wears the Pharisees out, buddy. Acts 10:38 says, Jesus went about full of the Holy Ghost and with power doing good. So the mission of Jesus was to go and do good, to be kind to people. Acts 11:24 says something real interesting. It says, when they tried to find Barnabas, they found Barnabas who was going to go to Antioch. The Bible uses the word, Luke does, to describe Barnabas. And here's the words they used to describe Barnabas. Before anything else, Barnabas was said to have been a good man. Full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. And I want you to notice that preceding faith and preceding the Holy Ghost was the concept, the adjective of good. That good marked his life. Therefore, you can expect the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and you can affect someone. You can expect someone with faith. The Bible says the law was good. Acts 15, when they were getting ready to choose leader, they said it's good to us and to the Holy Ghost. And so you start seeing where the concept of good is now intermingled with the concept of the Holy Spirit. Now it was previously it was mingled with the concept of interrelative reality, where God is in you, and it was connected from the very beginning with the concept of work. So this inner reality that is in us, that the Holy Spirit is caused in us because we eat from the tree of life, is now churning in us as a congregation to do good and to be good and to love people. You want to know why? God is good. That's why God is good. Here's the problem. Go with me and I'll close here. 2 Timothy 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 3. I'm sorry. There's lots of Timothy passages that talks about good. 2 Timothy 3 and 3 says this. Says, be very careful in the last days, because men will be lovers of themselves. They are going to be evil. They're going to be lawless, full of lawlessness. Folks, let me tell you who we need to be good to. We need to be good to police officers and law enforcement authorities. You want to know why? Because this whole world right now is despising them. Jeremy, hold that, buddy. Do you think that's a mistake? Do you think that happens by accident? Paul says, before the coming of the Son of Man, lawlessness will go everywhere. But he specifically says in the passage I just pointed out to you to read in 2 Timothy, he says, they will despise what is good. Adam and Ant in the 80s used to have this song. It says, you don't dance, you don't smoke, what do you do? And when you're in a world where we're giving men permission to use a woman's bathroom with a 12-year-old in a shower in our public school systems, we have to be very careful that we don't go to sleep being good, and that we don't become advocates of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, where we are just nice and we eat of our own goodness. But Jesus rebukes it and says that it is impossible to be good, and there's multiple scriptures for this, without you doing something about it. Religious people are good, but they don't do good. The children of God, the seeds of the kingdom of God, do good because they are good. A little hair difference. And so what God says to you today is, if you really want to please me, don't fall asleep in the end. Convention says you're not drunk. You don't go out with the other women on your wife like the rest of us do. The Bible says, don't be dismayed when they look at you and go, you goody two shoes. Who do you think you are? Because one of the characteristics of the coming of the Son of Man is that they will speak evil of our good. And we're not to go to sleep. Amen. Amen. And amen. Would you give God a hand clap of praise? Go, because you serve a Trinitarian God. Father sends, the Son sends. The Father sent the Son sends the Holy Spirit. And if He's living in you, you must go. Titus 3 and 8 says you are to go into your work, your employment. And you're to live out these values by being good.
We pray that you were blessed by this message. For more information about Covenant Community Church, please contact us at media@covenantcc.net or visit us online at covenantcc.net.